We're not just playing that for fun, although it is a lot of fun. Three words for you, people. Crocodiles on treadmills. Can you picture it? This isn't a premise for a new reality television show. This is a serious scientific research into the respiratory system of the mighty crocodile. I'm serious. Very, very serious story. Dr. Susie Munns is an expert on crocodile respiration. In fact, she's been studying it for 20 years. I didn't know people studied that, but certainly not for decades. And now she can give us a few tips on training crocs too, I imagine. She's one member of the team of American and Australian scientists who were putting the crocs through their paces on treadmills at James Cook University in Townsville in North Queensland. She joins us now. Hi, Susie.
Good afternoon.
Why are you doing this?
That's an interesting little question, isn't it? I was fascinated as a science student by diving animals, and crocs are a great example of a diving animal, and then yep. My interest blossomed into how they breathe, and I ended up years later putting crocodiles on treadmills.
Yeah, but hang on, you're skipping something there. What do you learn when you put them on treadmills?
What I wanted to do was look at the main mechanism that we have been taught in textbooks for years about how crocodiles breathe. And I had some questions. I didn't quite believe the textbooks. So I decided to do a set of experiments where I looked at crocodiles breathing, and I wanted to look at them breathing normally and then breathing slower, so when their body temperatures were lower, or breathing more than they usually would, for example, during exercise, hence the link with the treadmill.
Right, okay. So you have to get them excited, you have to get them out of breath, get their heart rate up a little bit.
Absolutely.
Get them a little bit fit. So what are you hoping to learn then? I mean, I know that you learn a little bit more about their respiratory system, but are there implications for that?
There could well be. We look at reptiles, particularly crocodiles as the largest living reptile that we have. We look at those as a window back in time. They're interesting in their own sake, and they have very interesting physiology and anatomy, but they also provide us with one of our best links to what the physiology may have been in some of the dinosaurs.
And that's intriguing, actually. What are they telling you?
At the moment, they're telling us that the main mechanism that we thought powered crocodilian breathing actually doesn't power it most of the time at all. So it really begs the question, what does this mechanism, this hepatic piston pump, actually do? Maybe in dinosaurs it was the main mechanism that they used to inflate their lungs, but maybe it did something very different.
But you're making some assumptions there, though. Is it possible that it doesn't actually tell us much about the way dinosaurs breathe?
Look, we have we do make some assumptions, but given that the fossil record only really solidifies solid objects like bone and cartilage, the fossil record doesn't give us very much information about soft tissues like heart and lungs. So in order for us to look back at what the structures and physiology may have been, we need to make some assumptions based on living animals. So definitely there are assumptions, and it's not perfect, but given that we don't have a fossil record of lungs, it's the best we can do.
And you've rewritten the textbook, basically.
Well, this experiment, I hope, will rewrite the textbooks from now on.
Don't hope. Sell it, Susie.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just rewrite the textbook. Yeah,
you've already done it. That's what you meant to say. Hey, listen, before I let you go, I've got to ask you this. How do you convince a crocodile to get on a treadmill and stay there and, you know, run without getting your head eaten?
First thing is you do it very carefully, because I do actually like having 10 fingers and I like having all my toes.
Yeah.
So you do it very carefully. But what we use is positive reward. So just like training...
No. So that sounds like you might be feeding them your head.
No. Bits of fish, actually.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, so positive reward, just like you train most animals. So little bits of fish for first sitting on the treadmill, and then for doing a nice little walk, then another bit of fish. And then over a period of weeks, you train them up to running, and they learn very, very quickly that if they run on the treadmill, they get their nice little treat.
But the first time they go on a treadmill, they get sucked up by it or something. It's not an easy piece of machinery to use.
We first start them off with just sitting on a treadmill that isn't running, so we get them used to just sitting on it stationary, and then we slowly increase the speed to train them how to run. So it does take some weeks to train them to be able to do it.
Are these the biggest treadmills in the world?
No, actually, it's a normal human treadmill. We modify it by putting walls on the sides so that they can only run on the treadmill belt. They can't run off the side.
Hang on, what are you using? Baby crocs?
Baby crocs. Oh, absolutely.
You... Oh.
Now, I'm not that crazy. No, I'm not going to use big Crocs.
Such a downer. So I was getting all excited about it. Thanks for talking to us. No Congratulations problem. On the research.
Thank you.
That's Susie Munns of James Cook University in Townsville, their extraordinary research.